Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday. On Tuesday, November the 9th. I'm kind of getting ahead of myself a little bit. Tuesday, November the 9th. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful weather here in North Texas. Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about some of this polling data that is, the numbers are not good. What else can I tell you? And it's interesting. It's not just for the president, for vice president as well. The vice president is not doing very well, and at least one of the polls that asked the question. But I want to begin. This is a story that I just saw coming across, the wires, if you will, here over the last couple of hours, and I just wanted to briefly touch on it. The city of Seattle, you probably know that Seattle is probably, let's just say Seattle is in the top five cities in the country that have gone woke, or very liberal cities. Now, they did make a correction last Tuesday, a week ago, when they elected more of a law and order city attorney, so hopefully they're going to let the police do their job in Seattle. But the city's a mess. It was devastated by all the crazy stuff a year ago, and they're losing business, they're losing people. It's a beautiful city if you've ever seen any pictures of Seattle, but the city itself is not run very well. Well, anyway, the parents in the school district, in the Seattle Public School District, got a letter this week saying that the school was going to be closed a couple of extra days. Now, they're already going to close on Veterans Day, which is Thursday, but they need more time, so they're going to close a few more days because they don't have enough staff. They don't have enough teachers, and they don't have enough staff. So they cannot run a school that way, or many schools. And, this is the kind of thing that, if I was a parent in that school district, I would go down to the administration building, and I would say, fine, just give us our money back. The money that we've been paying on property taxes to fund all of this, just give us the money back, and we'll figure out what to do with our kids. We'll figure out where to put them. We'll figure out what to do with them. We'll do it. We'll take care of it. We're not going to bother you anymore having to run your schools, but just give us our money back. And this is what's happening across the country. And I think it's going to get even bigger as we get into the election season for November 2022. But I believe very strongly that the Republican Party is going to wage a very strong campaign on school choice. And they should. School choice should be a choice for parents. If they want to keep their kids in public schools, that's fine. Nobody's going to stop them. But if you want to take that money and look for another school, you should be able to, because, you're not hearing this from Catholic schools. You're not hearing this from private schools. And I guarantee you that if these parents were able to spend their own money, that there would be, just a boom of private schools going up, combinations, homeschooling, private schooling. There'll be all kinds of things going on where the kids could get an education. We are really hurting the kids. That's the biggest casualty of all of this, are the kids who are not being educated because of all of these staffing problems and all of these political problems. But Seattle, the great city in the Pacific, has been just absolutely devastated by liberal policies. And it's not getting any better. Well, a new poll came out today, a USA Today poll came out. Now, this is one of many, many polls that we get in the country. It's registered voters, 1,000 registered voters. That's not as good as likely voters, but it's better than nothing. When you see polls that simply have adults, you don't want to take those too seriously. But anyway, this poll has President Biden at 38%. But here's the one that I think a lot of people are talking about. Vice President Biden is at 28%. That's 10 points less than President Biden. So let's say roughly 7 out of every 10 Americans are not happy with the job that the vice president is doing. Now, I think there's a combination of reasons going on here, by the way, and I have a post about this at the American Thinker this morning, Tuesday morning. But I think there's a couple of things going on. Number one, I don't think a lot of people think, I'll speak for myself, I don't think she's a very serious person. I don't think she's a serious person. I mean, when you compare Vice President Harris, let's say, with Vice President Pence in the Trump administration, look, Pence was a pretty serious guy. And when he took on a task, he took it. But the Vice President Harris was given the task of the border. She hasn't done a darn thing about it, hasn't even gone down to the border, went down to Central America, a few photo opportunities, then went to El Paso, gave a speech, and got out of town, has not been back ever since. Well, a lot of people see through that, and they're saying this lady is not serious. She's not interested in fixing any problems. If she was, she'd be down here helping us fix problems, at least listening to us. The other reason is that I think it's becoming more and more obvious that Americans don't think that she's qualified to be president in the event that she became president. And this, in a way, is good for Joe Biden because he has a bunch of problems himself. But as I mentioned in my American Thinker Post article, the one thing right now protecting Joe Biden is that, you know, if a bunch of Democrats go down to the Oval Office and say, you know what, Mr. President, maybe it's time for you to go. Well, they have to look back and say, okay, we're going to trade Biden for Kamala Harris. That's not a good deal. So, but anyway, I mean, it's really amazing to me that President Biden and Vice President Harris have collapsed the way they have. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, they've been in office now 9.5 months, and he's at 38, and she's at 28. And, you know, presidents, there's different markers in these public opinion polls. You always have to remember that a poll is not 100% right, so you got to give it a little room there for correction. So that's why you look at a bunch of them, because if all of them are sort of saying the same thing, then that's probably, the direction is probably correct. The numbers may vary. For example, Rasmussen today has Biden at 40%. Other polls have him at 40%. This is the first one I've seen. The USA Today is the first one I've seen that has him at 38. But there's three markers. If you're a president, there's three markers. 50%, you want to be over, you want to be at 50 or over 50%. That's usually the number you need to be reelected. 45 to 50, that's not a horrible number. You can recover from that number, but you want to be closer to 50 than 45. But, 46, 47, that's not a horrible number. You can recover from that. But when you are 45 or under, and especially when you start dropping under 40, now you're getting into territory where you're not going to be able to save yourself politically unless something very dramatic were to happen, something like completely out of the ordinary. But when you're down to 38%, 40%, you've got problems, and you're into that part of the territory where you may not be able to recover, and you may not be able to bounce back and become a political force in the country. And that's extremely important, taking into account that there are midterm elections coming up. We just saw what happened in Virginia, and we just saw what happened in New Jersey. I mean, New Jersey was the one that's really, hopefully that's the one that shook up the Democrats, because that one nobody was anticipating, and that was a case of blue versus blue. That was a case of blue voting against blue, and that's bad news for the Democrats. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be right back. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. You know, this whole question of vaccine mandates has really become a, a very hotly debated topic. I guess the truckers are now suing the federal government, and everybody seems to be angry about it. And I think the issue here to me is the Biden administration has done this the wrong way. What they should have done is they should have focused more on persuasion and less on mandates, particularly when you start looking at COVID and you see cases dropping. I mean, you know, the fact is that we, you know, hopefully, you never know, there may be another variant out there in the future, but we have really very significant numbers of people who've already been vaccinated. I've been vaccinated. I was vaccinated months ago. And when people come to me and they say, should I get vaccinated? I don't tell them anything. I just say, talk to your doctor. Your doctor is the one who should answer that question, not me or my neighbor or the guy you work with. Talk to your doctor. He's the one who should know whether or not you should be vaccinated. But I think the government should have used more the persuasion route where they talk to people and they say, look, this is why you need to do it. We're not going to force you to do it, but here's why you need to do it. But instead, they're going down with these mandates, and now they're going after the private sector, and that just isn't going to fly. Our Constitution is not going to let that fly. So President Biden is just going to get more and more unpopular if they try to force these things. But just persuade people. Tell people why they should get vaccinated. Tell people to go see their doctors and have the doctors tell them. And I think most doctors will probably, well, I don't know, but I think most doctors will probably tell you to get vaccinated. But, you know, that's between you and your doctor, and that's what the administration should do. No more of these mandates. I think that's a terrible idea. Well, Mr. Durham, you remember Mr. Durham? He was the one who was assigned by the former Attorney General Barr to look into all of the mess of the, you know, spying on the Trump campaign and all of that. For a couple of years, this Durham report was pretty quiet. Not much was coming out of his office. And frankly, it was frustrating, to be honest with you. It was really frustrating because a lot of us wanted to hear something. But Mr. Durham kind of kept his silence and said, I'll tell you something when I've got something. Well, he's starting to talk. And you're now starting to hear a lot of very intelligent people, like Professor Jonathan Turley of George Washington University, saying that he's got something. He's got some information. And more information is going to come out, and it's going to get even more difficult for the people who used to be in the Clinton campaign. There may be other people involved. I don't know. I don't want to speculate. But it's good to see that Durham is finally telling the American people what happened. Look, we need to know what happened to the Trump campaign in 2016, and we need to know who was behind all this Russia thing that was thrown at President Trump that really made it very difficult for President Trump to get things done because he was constantly under investigation. No president of the United States should ever be put through that again. And the people who did it should be punished, and they should be punished severely, so that the message goes out that you don't use the FBI or the FISA court to go after your political opponents. That's why we have elections, to do that kind of stuff, but we don't do it using the FBI or whatever. So I think he's got a lot of information coming. I would just simply tell you to be patient. For a while there, I was losing hope on this. I was kind of getting to the point where I was saying to myself, nothing's going to happen. I don't feel that way anymore. I do believe that there's some big things happening. They're just going to take a little bit of time, but that's okay. I'll wait for it as long as we get to the bottom of what happened in the 2016 campaign. Well, on this day in 1938, one of the ugliest moments of the 20th century, what they called the broken glass night, this is when you had people going around German cities breaking the glass, breaking down many Jewish businesses and stores, and, you know, 99 people were killed that night, hundreds injured. And that was an ugly episode, just an ugly episode, the night of the broken glass. Something like 25,000 to 30,000 Jews were arrested that night, and many, of course, sent to concentration camps, one of the ugliest things of the 20th century. And we remember today Bob Gibson, who's in the Baseball Hall of Fame, without question one of the greatest pitchers in baseball history. And as I say over and over and over again, if my life depended on somebody, if I had to win a game and my life depended on it, the man who would be starting my game would be the late Bob Gibson, who was born on this day in 1935, Nebraska, and he passed away in 2020. What an amazing pitcher he was, Bob Gibson. Well, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful evening. This is Silvio Canto, and we'll talk to you later.